The Old Testament reading this morning is from Isaiah 40, verses 1 to 11. Comfort, comfort my people, says our God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall. Because the breath of the Lord blows on them, surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends the flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. And the New Testament reading is from Mark 1, 1 to 8. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. Open our hearts this day to hear what you have to say to each one of us, either through the music, through the songs, through the message, through the scriptures. May we know your presence and may we know your word to us. Amen. The gospel reading begins with the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I'll come back to that in a moment because that's really important, because this is the beginning of the gospel. The story of John the Baptist is the beginning of the gospel. Many years ago, pre-Margie, that's pre 49 years ago, so that's a long time. I was involved in a number of groups in Brisbane, and we used to do musicals. One of the musicals we did was Godspell. It was pretty controversial for some at the time, and I can remember the beginning. I had a part to play, and part of that was prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare ye
the way of the Lord. Remember it? Prayed, and it used to go on like that. I won't go any further. But that's what we sang, and we did that. And it was a song about Jesus and about the gospel, of course, in a modern context at that particular time anyway. And it was about preparing the way. John the Baptist, the preparer of the way. And that's what this message is a little bit about. The preparer of the way, John the Baptist. This is Advent. Advent, the second Sunday of Advent. Sunday we focus on the candle of peace. And that is just a collage of different things about Advent that have been put together, and I just found it and I put it up there. But Advent is a time of waiting, a time of preparation, a time when we're getting ready. Now, there's lots of things we get ready for. We get ready for church, we get ready for weddings, we get ready for baptisms, we get ready for all sorts of things. And sometimes it's a long wait, and sometimes it's not so long a wait. So there's lots of things we are waiting for and getting ready for. Now it's getting ready for Christmas. And used to be my children, but now certainly my grandchildren are looking forward to Christmas, and they can't wait for Christmas to be here. Is that right? Grandkids, particularly, and they just can't wait to get to Christmas. And we say, don't wish your life away. We're experienced, we're old, don't wish your life away. But it goes the same pace of time anyway, doesn't it? Doesn't make any difference. But they're ready and they're getting prepared. They've got the tree up and they've got their presents wrapped, or sometimes, has everyone got their presents bought for Christmas? I haven't got any hands up here, so no one's got any presents yet. Okay, that's okay. Right, we're getting there. We're getting prepared. The first two Sundays of Advent certainly both focus on hope and peace, but the main focus of Advent is on the coming of Christ. The second two Sundays focus particularly on the Christmas story leading up to Christmas Day. But the first two Sundays focus more on the second coming of Christ, when Jesus is going to come again. Now, I'm not going to talk a lot about that today, but it's just interesting that the coming of Christ is not just focusing on Christmas. It's focusing on Jesus coming again in glory. That's really important to recognise. But, as I said, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the way Mark starts his gospel. And then he talks about John the Baptist. And I believe, in my focus for today, is we need to hear John first. We need to hear John first. Then we can hear Jesus. But we need to hear John first. And what is it about John that we recognise? Well, let's have a look. We recognise that John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer, as he is often known, or we call him John the Baptist, but the Baptizer in the Greek, he's a preparer. He's a messenger. He's a forerunner. He's a prophet. He's a voice in the desert. He is someone who is preparing the way. And that's what our Isaiah reading says, and that's what the beginning of our Mark reading says. Look, I will send a messenger ahead of you who will prepare the way. The voice of one crying or calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. Be an engineer, if you like. Engineers, at least road tech engineers, prepare the way. Now, some people recognise that engineers who prepare the roads do a good job. And then after a flooding event or after a cyclone, we realise that they didn't quite do as good a preparation of the road as we thought they'd do, because there are a few holes in it. But John the Baptist was preparing the way of Jesus. And after the bit after the Mark reading that we read talks about Jesus coming and being baptised by John. And John's task, in a sense, at that point, is finished. But John's message is an important one. It's a message to repent. To repent. Now we've heard that word. And that's what John said, I come preaching repentance, and he was out there in the wilderness eating locusts. Yuck. Has anyone ever eaten a locust? I don't know if I've eaten it. I haven't eaten a locust, but I imagine it's pretty crunchy. But I've eaten plenty of wild honey. Sugar bag. That's nice. But locusts, no, not so keen on those. But he was preaching repentance. And hundreds of people were led to believe, says the scriptures, came out to hear his word of repentance, and they were baptized by him. And John was baptizing people. That's what he was doing when Jesus came. And John wasn't above saying to the leaders, the chief priests and the Sadducees and the Pharisees, you brood of vipers. I won't go into all the other language. Probably used pretty colourful language that wasn't recorded in scripture, I would imagine, because he wasn't very happy with them. He was calling them all sorts of things. They needed to change. They needed to repent. So these few words here talk about the repentance that was needed. Metanoian, the Greek word. Turning around. Changing direction. Reorienting your life. Doing a U-turn, if you like. Repent. Repent. That's what we're called to do. It's not always a popular message. John's message wasn't a comfortable middle-class message. John's pulpit wasn't a comfortable... No, it's not silky, it's a comfortable pulpit. John's story wasn't a comfortable story. John's baptismal area was a river, not a baptismal font. John's message was uncomfortable. But it was a message. A message that called for a re-examination of your life. A reorientation of your life. A message that we need to hear. I want to tell you a story. Important to recognize that the word repentance, or word repent, is actually in the continuous action sense of the verb. It's not just a once only. It's not a, okay, I've repented now, done that, been there, now what can I go on to and do next time? No, no, no. It's a continuous action. It's something that we need to continually do. And that's what John is calling us to do. That's what he's calling us to do. I'll talk about that a little bit more too, but I want to tell you this story. William Willimon is a preacher and a leader in the Duke Seminary in the United States, and he's done a lot of research, and I've dipped into his stuff a lot. And some of his stories are important, and this is an illustration that he shares about his own personal journey. He tells a story of going to a funeral for a relative. It was held in a small independent Baptist church in North Georgia. Time came for the service, and the family proceeded in, and the preacher started to preach, Southern Baptist preacher. Apparently the preacher got pretty worked up, and he started to shout, "It's too late for Sam. Sam's dead. He might have wanted something different with his life, but it's too late for him now. It's all over. He doesn't get another chance, but it ain't too late for you, guys. People drop dead every day. Why wait? Today's the day. Repent. Make your life count for something. Give your life to Jesus. You'll never know what tomorrow may hold. Repent." After the funeral, William Willimon, in the car going home, turns to his wife and says, "That was terrible. I would never do that to a grieving family. That had to be the most manipulative, inappropriate, tacky funeral message I have ever heard." He got quite angry, actually. And his wife, a bit calm, more calm, said, "You're right, dear. It was. But of course, the worst part is, it was true. It was true. And that message was true." And that's what the good news is. That's what the good news about Jesus Christ, the beginning of the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, That's what Mark's talking about. We do need to repent. We do need that one-off repentance, if you like, from turning our life around and saying yes to Jesus. That's one thing. But we need the continuous action. And that's the next thing. So that's what I want to talk about now briefly. Our continuous action. Let's hear John first. We need to repent. And these are just a couple of things that I've thought of that I need to repent of. And maybe you too. I need to repent of self-sufficiency, of being self-sufficient, and recognizing that God is all-sufficient and I can never be self-sufficient completely. I need to repent of being self-reliant, relying on my own strength, my own self, my own abilities, recognizing that God is the one who is reliable. God is the one who on whom I can rely. I need to repent of doing things in my strength alone. As soon as I start to do that, I come up short, or I find it really difficult, or I get stressed. Now, that happens often, folks, and so I'm continually repenting of that. Because it is God's strength that we rely on. And the last one that I just thought of, and there are many more, is this one. We need to repent of doing it our way. I did it my way. You know the song? I did it my way. Yeah, it's a good song, and yet it's not always the best thing to do, is it? I did it my way. We need to repent of always doing it my way and never humbly thinking about what is the best way. So that's part of the message of the gospel is repentance. But it's only part of the message, because John's message is not the full gospel message. Mark records the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ and talks about John. And thereafter, talks about Jesus. And so the rest of the gospel is important. John is the forerunner. He talks about repentance and how important that is for repentance. But Jesus completes the gospel message. And that's the gospel message, the message of grace. God's riches at Christ's expense, we might say, for grace. Sometimes there's other acronyms for that. John 3:16, of course, is a well-loved and most important message. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but should have eternal life, as we believe. You see, we can be very self-sufficient, we can be very self-reliant and do it in our own strength when we talk about repentance too. We can think that as we repent, that it's all that I do to come to Jesus. It's everything that I do. I've got to repent. I've got to do it. And we can be very sucked in to that message. In a sense, that's the sucked in message from that gospel preacher in Southern Baptist Church. It's everything. And so we start to think about, well, it's what I do. All I need to do is repent. Okay. But that's a very small part of the story, an important part. This next story that I share with you illustrates that. A fellow by the name of Reverend Ebenezer Wooten, preaching about 150 years ago, had one of these tent ministries, crusades. He used to go around from town to town in various places in America. And he just completed this particular week of crusades in a particular town. I don't have no idea what town it was, but story goes that at the end of it, he was packing up, the tent was starting to be packed up, chairs were starting to be packed up, and this young man raced down to the front of the church where Ebenezer Wooten was putting his Bible away and other things like that, and said, Reverend, what must they do to be saved? What must they do to be saved? And Ebenezer Bruton said straight away, it's too late. It's too late. Oh, surely it's not too late. I know you finished the meetings and I know I didn't get a chance to come out earlier on, etc., etc. But surely it's not too late. It's too late, he says. And Ebenezer Bruton left him standing there. The young man just started to turn away and walk away. And Ebenezer Wooten said, son, it's too late. It's too late. Jesus has done it all. There is nothing you have to do but accept that and believe that. Then you will be saved. And then Ebenezer Wooten led him to Christ and he became born again at that point. But the point of that story is that there is nothing we need to do as such. We need to accept and receive what Christ has done. And that's the message of Christmas, really. Emmanuel amongst us. I mean, the message of Christmas is nothing about, except for Easter, is it? Without Easter, there'd be no Christmas. Accepting it. The important thing to remember is that all the way through, Jesus has always promised to be with us always. I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age, at the end of Matthew's Gospel. I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. And that's God's promise. That's Jesus' promise. We need to remember John's message of repentance, but remember the grace message. The message of Jesus and the message of the promise of Jesus that he will be with us always. God will go before you, walk beside you, stand behind you. I am with you always to the end of the age. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the message of John, the bold, blunt message of repentance. Thank you for that message that we need to hear and we need to do continually. But thank you most sincerely for the message of Jesus, Emmanuel, God amongst us, for his message of grace, of salvation through his death for us. Help us to receive that and to live that. Lord, thank you for the congregation here in Ingham, for their witness over many years. May they continue to witness to the love, mercy, and grace of Jesus Christ into the future. Amen.